recruiting trips slash his family comes along and they may be recruiting a kid down on South Beach or recruiting a kid down at Key West or possibly in some other nice area of the country.
I don't know.
It's got to happen.
I don't know about that.
You don't think so?
Nah, well, maybe in certain instances, but on vast majority of them, I think, are mostly they go,
all right,
they
I'll
talk,
give you an example.
They come back. It can't be that much fun. Look, I've never ridden private. It'd be awesome to try it one day or to get the opportunity to do it. But I get the feeling when you talk to coaches, recruiting, as fun as it might be to ride on a private jet, it's got to be taxing. Get on the plane, you ride over. It's a small jet. Yeah, it's nice. It's probably
better than driving.
It's definitely better than driving.
I can just imagine. I can see how some of these summer basketball tournaments are in Orlando, some are in Vegas, some are in, I played one in Jacksonville.
How about that?
When I was a kid. There were some college coaches there. I could just see coach saying, and I don't necessarily begrudge him for saying, hey, wife and two kids, I don't ever see you really. Why don't you hop in this jet with me? I'm going to be recruiting these 16-year-old pimply-faced kids down there in Jacksonville on the beach for 5 days. Why don't you come down and hang out on the beach? Would you be okay with that?
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Would be certainly fine with that.
I would, yes. Okay. But a lot of these coaches, for them, it's about getting in and getting out and back home as quickly as possible to spend time with their families, for the most part. Now, if they get the opportunity to bring them down, that's a whole different story.
Some of these tournaments and these recruiting spots are at some nice places.
Definitely. Oh, they pick big cities that they can get a bunch of people to go to. That's the goal. So it makes sense. But I get the feeling when I talk to coaches out there that talk about recruiting trips, it's not, oh man, we get to go on a recruiting trip. This is going to be a lot of fun. It's a job, and it's one that takes a lot of effort, a lot of time, and a lot of energy out of you.
It does take a lot of energy. And certainly there on the road, that's part of it, though. That's part of now, you not only have to know your X's and O's, you not only have to be good with people, but you have to have an incredible amount of energy to know that the demands on you, and if you're John Calipari, the demands on you, there are very few jobs in the entire country that have the kind of demands that this guy has.
Well, some guys love it, though, and some guys...
I think he feeds off
I think a lot of them do. Nick Saban is a great recruiter. I mean, and Les Miles, great recruiter. Steve Spurrier, even, great recruiter, even though he doesn't have to do as much now as he used to. There are coaches out there who you get the feeling, and you do... talk to people in the know, and they say they're not fond of recruiting. Bobby Petrino was not fond of recruiting. He did not like the process. He's an X's and O's guy. He's a let-me-call-the-plays kind of guy.
Lock me in a film room and let me just break everything down and put together the game plan.
You know, some coaches try to really advance to the professional level because they don't enjoy the recruitment process, period. That's what the scouts do. The scouts look at the incoming players, and the coaches in the NFL, they coach, and that's it.
Calipari loves it.
Absolutely loves it. And a lot of college coaches out there doing. That's why they're in the business. They love recruiting. But it is something that you really do have to have that unique skill set and energy. You have to have a lot in the reserves to continue recruiting 24/7, 365, which is how it is today in both sports.
Fortunately, when you get to some of the levels these guys are at, Saban, even Les Miles at LSU, and of course Calipari and Coach K, your program, you got so many tentacles out there helping you recruit. You almost have to say the guy's name, and kids are coming to you basically wanting to play for you. So it's a little bit different than some of the guys that we see. But that's still impressive. They're on the road a bit, and I know it's a jet, but still, that's a lot of travel.
You have to travel. You got to travel in style.
Yeah, you do. Johnny Manziel's jersey number.
Two.
Okay. Was he wearing his jersey, Paris, at Northgate?
No,
he wasn't wearing his jersey. Well, an auction house believes that an autographed, game-used Johnny Manziel jersey.
Game-used. Wow.
Okay. It is the only game-used jersey from his college career that has come to the market. Game-used now. There was one that was sold that I believe he just wore on the sidelines like his freshman year, redshirt freshman year.
Okay.
This one is signed, also has all of his stats in a metallic silver pen from his Heisman-winning season.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, let me take a look at that.
On the bottom, okay? Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I see that.
Okay, now I'm going to need it back because there's more information.
All right, go ahead. Yeah, you can have it back. Very, very nice, though.
It's going to the auction house, SCP Auction House. The total that is expected to sell for this jersey, the winning bid, they're expecting about $100,000 for a winning bid on a game used, signed, with all his Heisman stats. This is from his Heisman season game-worn jersey.
Wow.
$100,000.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, there were people paying, what, upwards of $20,000, $25,000 just to sit at a table and have lunch with the guy? Remember at the luncheon they had a couple years ago that people are actually criticizing the NCAA and the institutions for being able to sell off these auctioned items of eating lunch at a sanctioned event and the kids not making anything off of it?
But $20,000 to sit with them and
that was
a
criticism.
Money,
I'm not saying they should give him money, but anyway. But this is something that doesn't surprise me. I mean, these donors and these diehard fans that have, you know, bukus of money are going to pay that. They're going to buy it, and they're going to put it up in their house, and when they have, you know, their rich parties, they're going to invite people over and say, look what I've got!
Well, just to let you know, the auction will take place online from August 6th through August 23rd. The jersey was originally posted on eBay in May with the seller asking for $300,000. Last year, a lot of Manziel's items included a pair of cleats from the win over Alabama, was sold, and a jersey he wore on the sidelines in 2011 went for $7,760.
Seems a little low.
A jersey worn on the sideline.
Yeah.
He probably didn't even sweat in it, man.
No.
This is expected to be the highest price for a game-used college football jersey since Notre Dame's Paul Hornung. $27,000 that
wow.
went for.
I expected to go for it wouldn't surprise me one bit.
$75,000
to $100,000.
Who has that kind of money?
People.
The people,
people
do.
People have
they
that much money.
They have the money.
Trust me. There is a lot of money out there, especially when it comes to athletics.
I mean, how do you – I cannot wrap my mind around this.
Can you get on a payment plan for this?
I mean, $100,000? How much – now, he signed it, wrote all the stats.
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference to me if it was me. You're looking.
He's got to be behind this,
well,
no?
Could be one of his part of his entourage.
Uncle Nate. That guy, Uncle Nate.
Uncle Nate trying
Uncle
to make
Nate.
make a little dough on the side. He can now.
Yeah, I guess he can, buddy. He can do whatever he wants.